Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for
Rivalry Radio!
Rivalry Radio. Rivalry Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mark Kelly, and I am your host today. We are here on Rivalry Radio, as we are on every Tuesday, and I am with my co-host, the creator of the Everything Sports franchise on Facebook, along with a host of other things that he does. Peter's really grabbed this venture we have, Rivalry Radio, and run with it. There are so many things and directions that he wants to take us in. And as with anything that's starting off, there's a bit of a trial period that you go through. But Peter is really has this an amazing drive to succeed, and it's such a joy to work with him. And even though he's got crazy opinions, and I think he needs to be in a padded room sometimes, Peter, it's great to talk to you. How are you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing wonderful today, Mark, and I'm really excited about the Rivalry Network and where it's headed. And Rivalry Radio is something that you and I kind of based a lot of this off of and have pushed through with. And, yeah, as far as the drive to succeed, I don't think I really have one because there is no failure for us. We've decided we're going to do this, and it's going to happen. So it's not necessarily a drive to succeed. It's just it's the inevitable. It's what's going to happen. And I'm so excited for the future and so excited for what we've got going on here. We have a wonderful group of people. I get told that every day. So just excited about that and excited about what this show has in store for us as well.
Yeah, I mean, all you have to do is really go look at our website, rivalrynetwork1.com, and there are a lot of new articles up there. I've been writing just about as much as I can, trying to write about an article a day. You've been writing. We have other people who have really contributed and stepped forward. Last night, I had the pleasure of talking on the flip side with Mike and Richard, and they always have good things to say. On Sunday night, we had a show called The Good Fathers with Mark and Joshua. That's their venture, and they have a real passion for it. And they have a unique view on things going on in their life. We have your show on Friday, the frenzy, the Peter Wiseman frenzy. I started doing a show on Thursday. It's still in the works, and it's a work in progress. But that's something that will be coming just about every week. And then where Brian Snow is talking about coming on and doing a show on Saturday. So we got a lot of different things that are going on. And along with that, the website, too, and the articles on there. See, people don't really realize that we're talented writers, too, and we have a lot of interesting views and points on things. I wrote an article yesterday on the Celtics-Lakers rivalry that ESPN did last week and why I believe Magic Johnson's the greatest of all time. And it tried to store up just a bit of conversation about that. You've written articles on the Milwaukee Brewers and where they've come in, kind of come out of nowhere this year to lead the NL Central, something that nobody thought that they would do. Other people have written about entertainment things. I know there was an article there about Bill Cosby as well. So there's a lot of different angles that people are taking and writing with, and it's exciting to be part of this.
Yeah, I'm really happy. But I just wanted to add one that you forgot about, and that's probably because I just told you about it the other day, and that's every other Friday now, a good friend of mine, Scott Brown, is going to have a wrestling show. He heads up everything independent or indie wrestling, and everything else I pretty much changed over to Rivalry. That's one group I haven't, because he's kind of adopted that name before we were able to change. So he might get to stick with that, which to me kind of fits the wrestling vibe anyways. They don't want to conform, so, you know, we might just let that one slide. But, yeah, he's all into that kind of stuff. He's got a lot of friends that are wrestlers. He's actually had one on my show, and he interviewed him on my show. So, yeah, that's very exciting. And the theme to me about Rivalry is that we don't really know which direction we're heading, and that is exactly the direction we're heading. Because we want to do it exactly how it's meant to be and exactly how it's supposed to turn out. And that's what seems what's happened. We've got some great shows that just kind of fell into Panda. Like Mark said, the articles were not necessarily even planning them a certain way. They're just coming out. And if you want to learn something about the history of any sport, you need to read Mark's articles. They're not just for the shell. They're not just, hey, I want to figure out what's going on today. If you really want to digest something and understand sports a little bit better, Mark's articles are great. I usually don't get – anybody that knows me know I don't get swayed very often by other people's opinions. But this whole Magic Johnson opinion actually has me wondering and considering, because he is someone that for some reason doesn't get talked about as the greatest of all time. And not that that's even necessarily important, but I think what makes it important is now that everybody's talking about the greatest of all time, if you're not in that conversation, you're not in the conversation anymore. And because of that, we've forgotten about some really good players. And I think the Magic Johnson is one we need to not forget. Guys like Larry Bird and Kareem and all that too. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of them that we need to not forget. Now that people just want to talk about LeBron and Jordan. But, yeah, great articles by Mark. And I think you, not only should you check it out for the Magic Johnson portion of it, but he picks kind of a dream team. You, like, drafted a dream team, right? And
yep.
I think that was pretty interesting.
What I did was I imagined someone else picking against me. And my rule of thumb was, look, everybody that I've ever talked to pretty much thinks that Michael Jordan is the greatest player they ever saw, at least in my lifetime. So my argument
right.
would be, okay, if we're drafting a team, I'll give you Jordan. You can have him. I mean, I've never been a biggest Michael Jordan fan, period. But I will recognize that he's still probably the greatest player I ever saw, okay? But I'll give you Jordan.
Right.
What I want from you is just give me the first pick, okay? So I'll take Magic Johnson with the first pick. You take Jordan. I then would take Larry Bird. And right there, I have a team that's going to win most of my games just with those two. Now, I imagine, okay, who would they take? Okay, they probably would take LeBron. Okay, then I would take Bill Russell. All right, well, then they would take Will Chamberlain or another center. Okay, then I would take either Kobe Bryant or Tim Duncan. Okay, well, then if they do that, you know, then who would they take? Okay, say they take Charles Barkley, or say they take Kareem Abdul-Jabbar or Karl Malone, or, you know, then I would take Jerry West, and then we kind of go back and forth. But ultimately, what I wanted to do was show a team, like toward the end of my draft, the guys who I picked are very specific in what they do. And as we're speaking, in 5 minutes, Russell Baxter is going to join us, and I'm really excited for that. But I just wanted to show how an NBA team isn't just about best players. It's about getting guys who can fit certain roles. To me, Dennis Rodman would be on any team I had. To me, Scottie Pippen would
Absolutely.
Be on any team I had. To me, Jason Kidd would be on any team I had. Why? Because they're specific in what they can do. Nobody in my lifetime outside of Magic Johnson, nobody can get out and lead the break and make passes like Jason Kidd could. Okay? Nobody can lock you down, frustrate you, and beat you mentally better than Dennis Rodman could. Nobody can get out in the open court and guard you and hit an open shot if he had to better than Scottie Pippen. And I hated Pippen. Believe me, I always thought Pippen wrote on Jordan's coattails. But Pippen had a very specific game. Okay, Dr. J
right.
would be a guy that would be on. Dr. J would be a guy that would be on my team. A guy like Reggie Miller or a specific 3-point shooter, like even Dale Ellis, I would take. And ultimately, the center I would have that to score me points in the low post would be Hakeem Olajuwon. Why? Because he had the most low post moves of anybody I ever saw. And the other thing is he can get up and down a court like a guard, you know. So, you know, with him and Tim Duncan in the post, there's my post game. And, you know, with Reggie Miller, Larry Bird, Jerry West, Magic Johnson, on the outside shooting threes, as well as Kobe, I think I'm going to, have guys that can make shots. And then, if I need a time in a game where I got to just suffocate you defensively, then I'll put in Jason Kidd, Dennis Rodman, Scottie Pippen, Hakeem Olajuwon, and go from there and press you. So,
that's not unfair.
Yeah. So that's my view of the greatest team that I could put together. And I would love to go on to NBA 2K and play anybody that wants to in a simulated game, because obviously if we play talent against talent and I play against the guy who's just a hardcore gamer, I'm going to get my ass kicked. I don't care how many Hall of Famers I have on my team. But if it's a simulation thing where you're kind of coaching against it, I would put that team up against anybody. And, I don't care if they had a team of LeBron and Michael and, Kareem and Will Chamberlain. Even though I would like Will Chamberlain on my team, but specifically geared toward what I want, I don't need Chamberlain when I have Bill Russell, when I have Larry Bird, when I have Magic Johnson, when I have Jerry West, when I have Kobe Bryant, when I have Reggie Miller, when I have other guys who can score. I don't need a guy who can score in a low post. What I want is a guy who's going to dominate defensively and get rebounds.
One of the things that really hit me yesterday when I was thinking about it, because I've spent some time now that the finals are just over and, the draft is coming and all that, thinking about it all. And people nowadays are so quick to just say everybody today is way better than everybody before. And I think I finally understood why, because when we go back and look at players from the past, we judge them on what they were, not what they would be if they were in this NBA now. And players like LeBron and Kobe, they are the evolution of the NBA. They've taken what they learned from Jordan and what they learned from Kareem and what they learned from all those guys, and they put it together, and that's what they are. But when Larry Bird was playing, he didn't have the information on how LeBron played to add that to his game. And you know what I mean? So there's not that proper evolution back then. And that's why when we judge him, we judge Larry Bird on how he played in a league, pretty much strictly a 3-point shooter. We judge him how he played in a league where nobody shot threes, and that wasn't even really a strategy. So imagine Larry Bird if he had evolved into this era's NBA, where shooting threes was a focal point for everyone. I don't think there's a person that could even come close to stop him. Maybe Steph would be close to him. But other than that, I don't think it would even be close. And when you think about, Jordan being able to drive the lane with nobody playing defense in the paint like LeBron does, when you start weighing it out that way, these guys nowadays can't even compete. It's not even close. That's why when you started saying, I would give them Jordan and I would take so-and-so and they'd probably take LeBron. I was like, LeBron? He would even fit in there? I don't think LeBron would even – when you really started analyzing him against everybody else, he's a great player, but he's probably maybe a bench player on these teams that you're talking about. And that's what I think it was interesting about your article that helped put that into perspective for me. When you actually let these players, you give them the experience from today's day and age, like these guys now have, it makes it a whole different ballgame. Are you out there, Mark?
Yeah, I'm up there. I just we have Russell with us now, and I just want to introduce him. He is the creator of ProFootballGuru.com, a guy who I worked with at ESPN, was the right hand man for Chris Berman for NFL Primetime and NFL Countdown for many years. Knows more pro football than any person I've ever met, and beyond that, probably the greatest evaluator of people. I mean, Russell really has perspective on life that's so unique and wonderful, and it speaks to the way he was brought up, and it has a lot to do with the mother he had. And Russell, it's a pleasure to have you on, and I'm really excited to get a chance to talk to you.
Well, I'm really excited that you got the payment on PayPal for that great introduction. So it just goes to show you that the internet works. That's very kind of you, Mark. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and believe me, it's all heartfelt, Russell. And I've known you for a long time, and there's no one I respect more and appreciates your opinion more on things because of the perspective you have. And, you know, Peter and I were talking last week about how we feel, you know, how Peter feels, and I disagree, about sports today, about, you know, how the outcomes are maybe geared or rigged in a certain way. And I was wondering what you would have to say about that, what your opinion is on some of those things.
I think it's far-fetched to believe anything is rigged. I'm sorry. You know, I know that happened long ago. We had, you know, the tainted World Series, and we had basketball, college basketball scandals and different things like that. Let's use a little common sense here. With all the eyes that we have on us now, okay, and whether you want to accept social media as a part of the media or not, that's totally up to you. Okay, we have become a world of peeping Toms. Okay, we mind everybody else's business. So the idea that a secret like this, I mean, you can't keep a secret anywhere. So to say this is rigged and that is rigged, I have no problem with people saying it. Prove it. Okay, and when you say that to people, Mark, you get, well, I don't have to prove it. Oh, I don't have to acknowledge it. It's a stupid statement without proof. Okay, it just is. I mean, anybody can make a claim that it's rigged or the outcome is this and the outcome is that. I mean, I heard it. Oh, you know, the NBA is going to go to 7 games. Don't worry. Really? Were you watching? I understand being cynical, but, you know, there's cynical to the point of ridiculousness. And, you know, unfortunately, with all the things we do in our business now, we have so many people who have agendas and want to create these conspiracies for their own good. You know, I mean, you know, and I won't get into names, and I don't think I have to, for people who listen to sports radio or sports talk or sports scream or sports yell, whatever you want to call it. You know, there's too many people in our business now who think it's about them. It's actually always been about the guys who actually play the game. You know, the guys who actually get dirty and strain themselves while we're sitting in the press box eating free food and complaining about the air conditioning.
And I think that this is Peter, and I'm glad to have you on the show. I only hear great things about you from Mark, and I have the same admiration for you that he does. But this is exactly why, Russell, I do believe that it is rigged, because your argument is we should just believe it's not because we should just believe it's not. And you want people that do believe that it's rigged to prove it to you. But the higher pressure falls on the people that don't think it's rigged. The NFL had a choice to make this a sports business or an entertainment business. The main difference between the two is that they can't get in trouble for rigging games if they're an entertainment business. Guess which one they picked? Which one would you pick if you ran a business that made insane amount of money? The one that you could manipulate a little bit? Or would you just let it all play out exactly like it's supposed to, so that you just make as much money as you're supposed to? That is insane, Russell. That is insane. Anybody thinking that that a team that has a chance to make $22 million on a game would just sit back and say, oh, I don't think I will. And the reason people don't question it is because when they do, other people come out just like you did now and try to make them feel stupid, try to make them feel guilty for believing it. That's the only reason people don't, because we don't want to believe our games are rigged. We don't want to believe that anybody's messing with our national pastime and our favorite sports. We want to think that when the Patriots actually come back from 25 points at halftime against an offense that was just killing them, against a defense that had picked off Tom Brady. That's ridiculous to believe that that actually happened. To believe that LeBron James, who was getting smoked by Sacramento last final, actually just flipped a switch and came back and changed everything against a team that was so much better than his team and has manhandled him in every other time that they've played in any other aspect of the game. That's ridiculous to believe. And so I don't think the pressure's on the people that believe it's rigged. I believe the pressure's on the people that don't believe it's rigged, because the evidences all point towards the fact that it would be or should be in the advantage of the leagues to strict what's going to happen, or at least have an idea of what's going to happen, to line their pockets with money. I think it's very naive to believe that the Super Bowl just turned out the same way it would if you and I went and played on the street, a pickup game, and we chose our teams. There's way too much going into this, and there's way too much on the line for everyone else to just let it play out the way it is. There's way too much money out there, and we know how people are about money. You pick up a penny off the ground because it's that important, because somebody told us a penny saved is a penny earned. You don't think the NFL is doing the same, or the NBA, or the MLB, or whoever it is?
So using your premise, and thank God you took a breath, Peter, using your premise, first off, there's no pressure on either side. I have no pressure on me. See, in my business and what I do is I give my opinion, and I back it up with substantial fact and evidence. And anybody who knows me knows that I just don't say things for the hell of it. Okay? Now, everything you said obviously made sense, except that you don't have the evidence other than your own thinking. You have to show me the series of events. Plus,
and you need to show me the series of events.
Well,
neither side does.
Show it to me.
If there.
Then show me. Listen, I gave you 8 minutes without taking a breath.
You show me that it's not rigged. Because it's
No. I didn't say it. No, wait a minute. I didn't say it wasn't rigged. I said I find it hard to believe it's rigged. You would have to prove to me it's rigged.
Right.
So, Peter, with your extensive knowledge and extensive connections in this league, I want you to prove your theories.
And why are you putting the pressure on my shoulders to do that?
I'm not putting any pressure on there. You guys reached out to me.
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Completely different of what you're talking about, Russell. Not as far as in this conversation. But the people that do believe that the league is messing with it to prove that it's not happening. What about proving or prove that it is happening? What about proving that it's not happening?
I don't know. I've talked to a bunch of NFL players and coaches over 30 years.
Right.
Yeah.
Neither side can prove it is my point.
Yeah, but Peter, I think what Russell's saying is here. You have guys like I was telling you last week. You have guys that gave up their lives and their careers for something. I mean, these guys take this seriously. It's a lifetime commitment. I mean, like I said, talk to Mike Webster about if he thinks it's rigged when he's gluing his teeth in his head. You know, these are people that work hard to win and to prove, you know, their whole life they were brought up playing this game, and they have, you know, the ability to, and, you know, they stand for something. They, you know, and a lot of these people, it's God-given talent that they want to honor God with what they're doing. So this is something very serious. If they're just pawns in this, and if it's already decided by someone above them, then really the joke is on them for the commitment that they've given their life to, the profession that they've given their life to. And
do you think I'm such a strong advocate for them? That's who I'm advocating for. I'm advocating for the people that are pawns, that are getting their bells rung and doing it for no reason. I'm advocating for you and I as we sit and watch a game and see the Patriots come back from an insurmountable lead. We see the Cubs come back from an insurmountable series lead. We see the Cavaliers come back from an insurmountable series lead all in the same year. And I don't believe it. And if everybody else does, then that's up to them. But what I want is I want to be able to know that when I sit down and watch sports, it's for real. So I am advocating for them. And I'm also advocating for you, for those people that want it to be real. Because we could have real, but we have to call them on their nonsense. When you watch Game 4 of the finals, and after just getting slaughtered, the Cavaliers get to go to the free throw line 22 times, which is obvious that the refereeing is on their side, in their favor, and they win. That's the one game they win. You can't tell me it's not rigged. That is as close to proof as you're going to get for either side. The games that the Cavaliers win in the last two final series, they had a lot of help from the refs. That's undeniable. And yet
Peter, you
still
keep on throwing out terms like undeniable, and you have yet to give me any evidence. I understand the final result. Tell me the process that went on in which the Cleveland Cavaliers in Game 4, tell me the particulars. I want to know the officials, the coaches, and the players who were all in on the fix.
And what I'm saying, Russell, is you know that that's not possible, and so you try to intimidate the side that would show the proof. 22 free throws in the only game that they won. That's as close
Infinity.
As we're going to get, because obviously I wasn't in their meeting room. You weren't in their meeting room. But instead of actually you being able to give me proof, you try to back me down by saying I can't give you proof. Neither one of us can give each other proof. So your argument is negated. Your argument is thrown out the door because you can't give me
wait,
proof.
Wait a minute.
That it is.
Have you ever heard of this premise? I think it just came around in 2016. Innocent until proven guilty? Are you familiar with that? Because that's the same thing that applies here. I think they've been using that in sports for about maybe only a year or so. Okay? Nobody's trying to intimidate you, Peter. You haven't proven anything other than being upset about results. And then you throw out some cockamamie stat about a 25-point deficit in the NFL being insurmountable. It's not even the biggest comeback in NFL history, for God's sake.
It is in the Super Bowl.
No, it is in the Super Bowl. You said it was insurmountable.
This is what I'm saying. You're bringing up things and attacking me on things that have been
attacking you.
Attacking you? I don't even know you.
Peter, he's not attacking you.
Nobody has ever overcome 25 points in the Super Bowl, because when you're playing against the next best team, 25 points should be insurmountable, and it has been for 50-some years.
Yeah, but again, Peter, it's a different game.
Peter, wait a minute. Hang on, Mark. Mark, hang on a second.
Okay.
Peter, what was the largest comeback in a Super Bowl before that? Ever. 25 points.
I don't know.
What was the largest comeback? What do you mean you
don't
know? How can you not know?
What I do know is this one. And see, once again, here you go going on a whole different tangent. And this, I've seen this with you, Russell. This is what you do. You have no proof. You can't prove your side. Neither one of us can prove it. So you bring innocent until proven guilty. Nobody's guilty. Nobody's innocent here. This is a game that we are trying to figure out if people should actually invest their time into it. And you're bringing up things just out of the blue, out of nowhere, like, well, what was the other biggest comeback? That doesn't matter. What we know is nobody has ever done what the Patriots did to one of the best offenses we'll ever see. Nobody has ever done that. And all of a sudden, everything fell apart for the Falcons. And this defense that had gotten so much pressure throughout the year just all of a sudden fell apart.
So you're surprised at what New England did to Atlanta's offense. That's what you're telling me?
Pardon me? Was I surprised?
I'm asking you. One of your points here is that you're surprised at what New England's defense did to Atlanta's offense, correct?
I'm not surprised at all, because going into this, I knew that the league was probably going to do this, because why would they want Atlanta to win the Super Bowl? They want Tom Brady. They want the Patriots. They've proven that.
So wait a minute. They wanted Tom Brady to win the Super Bowl after they went to the trouble of suspending him for the first four games of the year.
Absolutely,
okay.
They did.
Okay. And by the way, since we're talking football, who gave up the fewest points in the league last year? Peter?
What does this have to do with this setup?
Because you're talking about the Atlanta offense. Aren't you talking about
theory.
The Atlanta offense?
I have disproved your theories, and now all of a sudden you're going to completely different things.
How did wait a minute, disprove
okay.
you
let's
didn't disprove squat.
Let's focus on what we're talking about.
You just made a statement about Atlanta's offense, and all of a sudden it couldn't do anything against New England's defense. I'm trying to tell you the
right.
New England Patriots gave up the fewest points in the league last year.
Right,
and the Falcons smashed them in the first half, Russell. And this is what I'm talking about. Now you want to
wait
all
a minute,
of a
wait, wait a minute.
That,
it, it, so how many touchdowns?
It's a new defense. The Falcons smashed them in the first half, and all of a sudden, everything changes in the second half, and all of a
right.
sudden we see the greatest comeback we've ever seen.
Right.
So
first off,
yeah.
First off, when you're talking about offense, in which, by the way, New England outgained the Falcons in the game by over 200 yards and held them below mm-hmm. their season average in terms of offense, and you're talking about the first half, wasn't there a pick six in that first half, Peter?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Does that count for the Atlanta offense? Does that part of the Atlanta offense
that
scored that touchdown?
No, they didn't.
No, it doesn't. So their offense, they scored 540 points, tied for the eighth highest total in the NFL history in one season, which, by the way, Peter, in case you didn't know this, there have been nine teams.
A pick six takes away an offensive possession. You should know this, Russell. You're the NFL guru. A pick six takes away the possession. So now the offense doesn't get those points. They don't get that offensive drive. They don't.
Peter,
get
I'm trying to
so,
talk
yeah.
logic to you.
Yeah.
If you want to be
okay.
snarky and smartastic
yeah.
about my title,
no,
okay. we'll have this discussion
this
in person.
From the very first time we started.
Peter, hold on one sec. I gotta apologize. We're getting way off thing here. This is not what I wanted when I had Russell.
No, you did not. I don't need some smart ass guru crack.
This isn't smart ass Russell.
This is from the minute you hang on, Mark. From the minute this show started, you've been telling me that you can't prove anything. Of course you can't prove anything. Neither side can prove anything. And what I'm saying is let's keep it
burden of proof goes on the burden of proof goes on the accuser.
No,
okay.
It doesn't. Not in this conversation.
Okay.
The proof goes on.
Oh, no, no. Not in this conversation. Just the rest of the world, right?
Okay.
The fact goes on that we have seen three finals recently that have been absurd. And we see that kind of stuff now all the time. Going back to when the Twin Towers was bombed, the Patriots come out of nowhere to win the Super Bowl. Now you're talking about national security. So this is
okay.
Just
all right,
a joke
all right, wait, all right, Peter.
This isn't
just a joke to me. I understand, and perhaps I misjudged it by thinking this could be. You know, I understand there's real feelings here. There's real personal things.
What I would like to point out is that I wasn't aware that we were debating whether or not the league was fixed. I wasn't aware of that. So the minute I came on, I was attacked with a subject I didn't even know was coming.
Okay. I just wanted to continue what we had talked about last week. Cause me and you spent a lot of time talking about, like, you know, conspiracy theories and sports and all that. And I love Russell's
right.
overall perspective because I think Russell brings a healthy perspective on all that. That's why I
he
wanted.
He hasn't brought anything, Mark. Mark,
no,
he hasn't
but
brought
yeah, he
anything.
Has.
And that's the point.
He has.
That's
but besides
point.
That,
all he said is prove it. Prove it. That's
okay.
That's what my 5-year-old says. Prove it.
Okay, but besides
that, there's got to be more. When you
okay.
have an argument
okay.
about sports, there has to be more than just prove it. And I have
okay.
brought evidence. I have brought things that have shown that things have tilted in a completely different light lately. And Russell hasn't even tried to change that. He's just attacked me. By
You made a snarky remark about the Pro Football Guru and then just said something about your 5-year-old son. Who's attacking
okay.
you? I'm giving you facts and figures.
You haven't given me anything, Russell, except for
No, well, yeah, okay.
okay. Okay. All right, guys. I want to end this because this is my mess, and I'm so sorry for doing this. Russell, you're the smartest football guy I know, and that's really what I want to talk to.
Now that I have shown that it's impossible to prove that it's not being rigged, now we're trying to end the conversation.
No,
it's just as obvious that it could be rigged. The NFL actually chose the option to be able to rig it.
Okay, I understand. We have different opinions about things, but I think I made a mistake. It's got a little bit too personal on both sides. I didn't want it to go that way.
It didn't get personal at all. It didn't get personal at all.
Okay, I think for the rest of the time, because I really want to get to some football things with Russell about where next season's going and how the off season has gone on. So I think we need to spend the last couple minutes doing that because Russell really has a good perspective on that, and I'm really interested in hearing that. That's really what I wanted to eventually get to. I just thought that this was something we could have fun with. So maybe I misjudged that a little bit.
Oh, it's been a blast, hasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I was having fun. I was having fun because once again, I brought out the facts, and nobody can say anything against them. All people can say is you can't prove it. That was Russell's argument, that I can't prove it. So it was fun because once again, we're getting closer to the NFL being able to be more pure, for people being able to realize that this league has been taken advantage of, that sports in general have been taken advantage of. And other people just want to poo-poo it by saying you can't prove it. But you can't prove it's not. And so I think this conversation actually had a lot of benefit. And Russell, I'm sorry if you felt like I attacked you or that it became personal. But
It wasn't snarky.
What it was saying is, you're trying to hit me with something that is common sense. If you score a touchdown with your defense, your offense doesn't get back on the point. I wasn't trying to.
I'm talking about the. You're the pro football guru, aren't you?
Right. Well,
Do you know the history of pro football guru? I don't refer to myself as pro football guru.
Once again, you're
it's
just
a website.
The subject.
Yeah.
Okay.
Again,
no, I'm telling you how you just said it wasn't personal, and you made it personal.
It wasn't personal. What I was saying, and this is an easy concept that most people that talk sports know, that if you take your offense off the field,
Mark, this is a waste of time. I've been in this business almost 35 years, and this guy's going to tell me how to handle myself in sports media. I mean, this is ridiculous. Okay. I mean, this is crazy.
Yeah. I'm sorry, guys. No, I'm sorry, guys. This is my fault. I misjudged this. I'm very sorry.
I'll just leave it at this. If someone told me that Peter just got caught shoplifting, does that mean he's innocent because I can't prove it, or is he guilty because they did prove it?
But you haven't proven it. There's no proof.
No, I haven't proved it.
Yeah,
and your 5-year-old son can do better, right? Isn't that what you said?
There's no proof on either side, Russell, is all I'm saying. There's no proof on either side. So you're saying innocent. You're using the word innocent, but nobody's innocent. There's been no trial.
Peter, you're the person who suggested their fix was in. If you're the one making the suggestion, back it up.
Has sports ever been rigged?
Back it up. Yes.
So there's your proof.
No.
It has
no.
been. It is.
Yes, it has been, and those cases are documented with facts. Where are your facts?
That's the thing. This isn't a court. Where are your facts?
Oh, I've got a few facts. Okay? I've got a few facts.
I'd love to hear them.
But you're the one who made the claim. You made the claim. I didn't make the claim. You did. Back it up. Come on, back it up.
It's not a claim.
It is. You're the one who said the games were rigged.
There was no arrest. And that's what you're saying. You're trying to take the easy side. Well, because this is what everybody else believes.
I take the informed side. I take the informed side. Do you realize how long I've been doing this and who I've been involved with, sir?
Russell, this isn't personal. You're trying to make this personal. This isn't personal. This is about
I'm showing you my background and why I don't think it's rigged, and you have nothing to counteract it.
I have counteracted it the whole time.
No, you've been counteracting it, but nothing to back it up.
Everything backs it up.
What's everything? Everything, because we've seen a trend of comebacks. Was it a conspiracy that we didn't see a Triple Crown winner in horse racing for years? Where you got some evidence on that as well?
Have sports ever been rigged? There's my answer.
Yeah, I just said it had, and I said documented cases. With documented cases and investigations. Where's your investigation, Peter? Where's your investigation?
There's evidence that sports is rigged. That's what you wanted, and I've given it to you.
Yeah, years ago, okay?
And that changed.
There's evidence of a lot of stuff that happened years ago.
Right.
But you haven't proven and made any factual evidence. Peter, put it down in writing. Put it up on the internet. Let people show people how you can prove that these finals are rigged and the World Series is rigged and the Super Bowl is all rigged. Show it. And see the reaction, and maybe you can get an investigation started.
And this is what I'm talking about. Instead, like, you know, if you heard that someone you knew, a child or something, was in danger, would you ask for proof before you went to protect them? No.
No, I don't.
You would just be like, oh, let's
We're
go
talking about a child's welfare here. You're talking about a child's welfare, and you're going to compare it to sports? Is there something wrong with you?
You're trying to make this something completely different than it is, Russell. You're trying to make this personal because it's the only way you can stand up to it. You know that.
Oh, yes. I know. I've been a failure at what I've done for 35 years.
It's not. Yeah, okay.
Anyway, I'm done, Mark.
Russell.
If you
want
to take the rest of the show,
done.
Go ahead.
Thank you for your time, Russell.
That's okay.
I'm sorry, but between both sides. I love both you guys. Okay, Peter, I know you. I know who you are. Russell, I know you for a long time, and I love you like a brother. And I know who you are. I'm sorry that this got out of hand. It's just totally not what I wanted. And I owe apologies to both of you guys.
I don't think you need to apologize, man. I think this was exactly how it was supposed to turn out. I don't think you need to apologize. We had a great football conversation going on.
I don't want you to go anywhere,
Peter. We had a great football conversation.
Because we got to finish the rest. But Russell, I thank you for your time, Russell. I'm sorry about the way things went.
Why are you apologizing?
I feel like this is that I just misread this. Russell, we both respect tremendously everything you do. You've come back after being with ESPN. You've created a whole new world for yourself. You're one of the best writers and one of the best analysts I've ever met, and I look forward to talking to you and keeping up conversations with you. All right, brother?
No problem at all.
All right. God bless, Russell. I'll talk to you soon. Thank
you.
And
Russell, I want you to know I have no problem with you at all either. I think you're a great person.
Well, thank God I wasn't going to sleep tonight, Peter.
and until this kind of stuff, you know what I mean? Until the personal shots like that. I actually thought that this was a great conversation. I don't think Mark has anything to apologize about. I think that we were doing what a lot of people do, discussing sports, and we were both on, you know, at our own side.
Just unveiled the real problem here, Peter. Mark wants to apologize, and you don't think he has to. Let him apologize if he wants to. It's his life.
And that's okay.
Okay? Stop trying to tell people how to think and feel.
You've been doing that to me the whole show, Russell.
Oh,
thanks, brother.
Yes. Right. Brother.
Good.